Joshua chapter 2, verse 8. Hear God's word. Before the men lay down, she came up to them on the roof and said to the men, I know that the Lord has given you the land, and that the fear of you has fallen upon us, and that all the inhabitants of the land melt away before you. For we have heard how the Lord dried up the water of the Red Sea before you when you came out of Egypt, and what you did to the two kings of the Amorites who were beyond the Jordan, to Sihon and Og, whom you devoted to destruction. And as soon as we heard it, our hearts melted, and there was no spirit left in any man because of you. For the Lord your God, he is God in the heavens above and on the earth beneath. Now then, please swear to me by the Lord that as I have dealt kindly with you, you also will deal kindly with my father's house, and give me a sure sign that you will save alive my father and mother, my brothers and sisters, and all who belong to them, and deliver our lives from death. And the men said to her, our life for yours, even to death. If you do not tell this business of ours, then when the Lord gives us the land, we will deal kindly and faithfully with you. This is God's holy and infallible word. Beloved in the Lord, we come to the story of the two spies that Joshua sends into Jericho. It's a military operation, and it's a military precaution. He wants to know what he's up against. He wants to know what's before him. And of course, we know that the spies went to the house of the prostitute Rahab. And we know that these two spies, as they went to Jericho, probably figured that two strangers wouldn't be that suspect going into her house. We don't know really much about it, but that might be one illustration. But what we do know is that this was God's provision for the two spies, for Rahab, for Israel, and for all of his purposes to carry out his infinite plan of salvation. It's interesting that as this story goes, and we haven't read all of the passage, that these men did not come unnoticed. They were noticed right away, and the police department was sent directly from the king to the house, and Rahab was asked, where are the men that came here? They knew that they were there, that they had come there. And she, of course, told them that, well, you just missed them. They left a few minutes ago, but if I like this one, if you hurry up, you'll catch them. You know. Well, that's the story. We know it well, but how well do we know Rahab's testimony? How well do we know what Rahab believed? And that's what verses 8 through 14 really, really tell us. Rahab illustrates faith in a very strange place. Literally the only person of faith, perhaps the only person, or the only family of faith in all of Jericho. She lived in a place that was devoted to destruction. All she had to do to be lost, like the others in her town of Jericho, was nothing. She could have done nothing and she would have been destroyed. But she believed in God. Yes, the Bible identifies her as a prostitute. She had a bad character. At one time, we don't know if that continues, but I'd like to remind you that the Bible often calls people with specific names, and that's to identify them. That does not necessarily mean that Rahab was continuing in her prostitution. She had been a prostitute, but it doesn't necessarily mean that she was at the time the spies were there, because she's simply called that as an identifying name. Matthew was called what? The tax collector. And that's how he's identified. We don't mix him up with any other Matthew. He's Matthew the tax collector. The same thing with Dr. Luke or Barnabas, who is often called an encourager. And others are identified by either characteristics or by names. And the Bible does that. That does not mean then that she was continuing in her prostitution, but that was her history. But she had heard of the God of salvation. And that's what our story tells us at the verses that we have read. In verse 10, it says, "We have heard how the Lord dried up the water of the Red Sea before you." Now, how did they hear about that? That took place a ways away from there. That took place prior to that. But word gets around. People tell the stories of what they hear and what they have seen. And that's how that message got across. And when that story came to this community, as well as all of the other things about the killing of the king of the Amorites, Sihon and Og, and they were destroyed. As soon as we heard it, what happened? Verse 11 says, our hearts melted. And she goes on and she says, there was no spirit left in any man because of you. Now think about it for a moment. This was the city of Jericho, very strong, strong city, walled city. Who would think that the people of Jericho had any reason to fear? But when they heard the true work of God and his destructive power, their lives came to nothing and they feared for their very lives. She had heard the story of God's great salvation. The hearts of the people melted when they heard the story, but what we find with Rahab is that she believed in God. She confessed her faith in God. Look at verse 11 with me. As soon as we heard it, our hearts melted. There was nothing left because of you, for the Lord your God is what? He is God in the heavens above and on the earth beneath. You don't find many confessions of faith in Scripture as clear as Rahab's confession of who God is in this place. She had heard about the God of Israel. She had heard about God's opening the Red Sea and how God gave the kings of the Amorites in the hands of Israel, and they destroyed them. On that basis, she concluded that God was the God of Israel and God in heaven above and the earth beneath. In other words, the one true and living God. She had an exclusive faith in God. And what that resulted in was that she was convinced, as she will go on and say in a moment, that the land of Canaan had already been given over by God to the people of Israel. She knew that her city was going to be destroyed. She knew that God was giving this to the people of Israel. And she had faith that this God was the God who is sovereign and true over all. She believed in the tremendous power of God, who demonstrated his glory and would demonstrate it yet once again when he caused Jericho not only to be destroyed, but he had already caused everyone there to faint with fear in their hearts. But Rahab practices a true faith in God. She had sought his protection and she had entered into covenant with him. And her faith comes with the words that she speaks to these men, as we see it here in verse 13. If you will save me alive with my father and my brother, my mother, my brothers and sisters, and all who belong to them, and deliver our lives from death. She expected what? Death and destruction. She knew that her walled city was going to be destroyed, but she knew that God would deliver her, because she asks by faith for that deliverance from these two spies. She demonstrated the authenticity of a faith that she possessed, and she welcomed these spies. That was a foolish thing for her to do, don't you think? From one perspective, it put her in great danger. What would have happened if the king found out that she had the two spies in her home? She would have been off to jail and then the guillotine, or whatever they used to kill people in those days. But she hid them in her home. And then she prepared for their departure, and then she told them how to go and hide for several days so that they might escape the people that were looking for them, so that they might go back to Israel in safety. She put her life in jeopardy. And she put her life in jeopardy because she had faith that God was in control. And she used every opportunity that she had to serve the living God. She had an understanding of God, the God of Israel, that's simply astounding. Where did she get that understanding? Where did she get it without libraries, journals, newspapers, TV, CNN? Well, probably wouldn't get it on CNN. Fox News. Where would she get this information? There was none of that. There was only one way for her to get that information, and that came from the sovereign power of God to save sinners. God stepped into her life and saved her by his grace. And she is delivered then from this overthrow of her own city by faith in the power of God. If you look at what the Apostle James writes in his small letter, he makes a comparison or demonstration there between Abraham and who? Rahab. And he talks about the works of their faith. Of course, we know the story of Abraham. We know that Abraham and his faith were, it was demonstrated that he had faith because he obeyed God. What did he do? He put his son on the altar and he was willing to give up his life. Now that's an awesome story. But what James goes on to talk about is something that's, if we could use the word, make it up, awesomer. More awesome. What's more awesome than Abraham laying his son on an altar and ready to plunge a knife into him because that's what God had told him to do? What's more awesome is the faith of Rahab. She put her life on the line. She put it in concrete terms in a place of danger where she was going to lose her life just by taking these two spies in and hiding them. And she did that in a way that honors the Lord. And the Lord uses Rahab to show the demonstration of her faith is an awesome thing in her ability to obey God. And she is honored with an awesome place in the genealogy of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. She's one of the many who are named in Scripture as a part of the genealogy of the Lord Jesus Christ. We read that in Matthew's Gospel, chapter 1, and in verse 5. She is a part of the family of God. Her confession of faith is a confession that is demonstrated here in this passage, and it needs to be heard and believed. Many had heard about what happened all around them. She tells them about it. We've heard how the Lord dried up the water of the Red Sea. We heard about what you did to the Amorites. But who believed? Rahab believed. No one else believed in Jericho. Rahab believed. And her work of faith was to hide the spies. Her prayer of faith was to ask for deliverance. And she receives that by the power of God. Now, think again about Abraham and Rahab. Abraham had promise after promise from God, didn't he? The horizon of his life was filled with the promises of God. You could read about it in Genesis 12, how God said he would bless the nations of the world through him. Abraham could live his life of faith and its activity on that rock solid, powerful promise of God. And that powerful promise of God was what? That there would be a baby born to Abraham, an old man married to Sarah, an old woman who couldn't have children, but they would have a child. And Abraham believed the promise of God. He had that promise sealed to him by God over and over again. What promise did Rahab have? Not a single word. The only fallback position she had was the promise or the threat of radical and total annihilation. All she could see was the majesty of the power of God. But when she saw the majesty of the power of God that opened the Red Sea, that destroyed the kings of the Amorites, what did she do? She believed in God. She surrendered without the luxury of some assured future. No promise. She was simply overwhelmed with the glory of God. And she authenticated her faith by an unparalleled act in history. That act of saving these spies because she believed that God is the God in heaven and earth. And if faith is a powerhouse for Abraham, as James speaks about it, it's off the charts for Rahab. She is a woman of great faith who rests in the power of God, saved by grace, saved by the divine power that predestines us and brings us out of the miry pit and darkness and the power of sin and makes us one with Jesus Christ by the unmerited favor of God that shines so brightly when he saves sinners. There was nothing whatever in this poor fallen woman to commend her to God's favorable regard. In fact, we could say that about each and every one of us. But here was Rahab the prostitute. Nothing that made her something that would commend her to God. But where sin abounds, what does Scripture say? Grace abounds much more. And that grace of God comes and shows the unsolicited, unearned favor, the gift of eternal life, the gift of saving faith, and the gift of God's grace that makes us a child of God. Saving faith involves relinquishing what we previously were, giving up what we once were under the authority of the prince of the power of the air, repudiating what we formerly trusted in, ourselves, our own abilities. We deny ourselves, we forsake our old companion, and we seek, like Abram and others, to live and to walk in a life of obedience to God. It was that way with Abraham. It was that way with Moses. Do you remember Moses, who came to that point in life where it says in Scripture he refused? Notice it's not just, well, I'm going to make up. No, he refused to be called any longer the son of Pharaoh's daughter. Think about that. The son of Pharaoh's daughter. High position. He chose to suffer affliction with the people of God rather than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. It was that way with Abraham. It was that way with Moses and with many others. And it was that way with Ruth, who in sharp contrast with Orpah went back to her people and her gods. What did Ruth do? She stuck it out with Naomi, and she became a part of the family of God. She became a part of the family through which Jesus Christ came. And it was that way with Rahab, who by God's grace was saved, and it had a faith that did not relinquish anything, but broke her former associations, everyone around her, the whole city of Jericho, and she stood alone for the grace of God and the power of God unto salvation. And we know from the end of this story that she was delivered and that she was made a part of the family of God and that she becomes for us, as Scripture tells us in Hebrews and in James, an example of great faith. She's a woman of great faith. Let us see that, and let us also apply that to our own lives, that we might live like Rahab by faith in the God who is the God of all grace and power and glory. Amen.